Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio, where we do your life, your business, your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, manufacturing one of the largest selections of natural and organic cosmetics bases in the world. Essential Wholesale is your choice for the base formulas you need to make your products stand out in a crowded marketplace. Visit their website today at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, today is Monday, March the 12th, and I'd like to take a moment to send out a special hello to a listener named Patricia. Patricia, your sister Tracy told me about the bit of a difficult time you've been having health-wise lately, and she also told me that you plan to join Indie Business Radio for the first time today. She also told me that one of the things that has lifted your spirits lately is your decision to step out of your comfort zone and do what you've always wanted to do, and that is to start your own business. So first, let me welcome you to the show, Patricia, and congratulate you on that decision. In addition to welcoming you to the show today, I'd like to send you a special gift. My friend Lisa Price, founder of Carol's Daughter, is the author of a wonderfully inspirational book called Success Never Smelled So Sweet. Your sister's going to give me your address, and I'm going to send you a copy of that book, especially from us here at Indie Business Radio. I'm really excited to have you and all of our listeners here today, but especially you, Patricia. And if you have any questions, you have got a great person to talk to today in our guest. You can call your questions or comments in at 800-773-0355. As I've said, you've picked a great show to join us for your first time today, Patricia. We have got John Mountner of Advanced Profit Technologies. John Mountner is CEO of Advanced Profit and author of The Cycle of Success. It's an audiobook program which you can listen to at his website, cycleofsuccess.net. John works with women, including women from the Chicago Women's Business Center and other groups, on how to build a successful and profitable company. And I have listened to much of The Cycle of Success at his website, and it is fantastic. Today, John is going to share some of his secrets on balancing family with a real business and not just a hobby, how to manage things better, and make more contributions to your business's bottom line. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, and I've been looking forward to this interview, so let's get going.
Well, yeah, let's just do that. Now, one of the things I like to start my shows off with, John, is to try and give our listeners an idea of your background, and most specifically, when and how you transitioned from full-time traditional employment, working for someone else, to starting your own business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's a great question, you know, and my story's a little bit different. I mean, I started out, got a bachelor's degree in accounting and finance from Southern Illinois University, and I was just looking for a job. I sent out hundreds of resumes, and frankly, that process was pretty depressing. And I did, however, land a job in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, with a company called International Paper, which is a Fortune 30 company, and we were developing a piece of real estate out there. So I got a chance to go out there and do some accounting work for the company. And you know what I realized is that, you know, working for a major corporation, just for me, for some reason in my gut, just wasn't something I wanted to do. And I just felt out of place, and I felt like this is going to be a life wasted just working for someone else and maybe getting somebody else to be wealthy and rich, but certainly not myself. And it was funny because I just felt that way in some way, shape, or form. And I decided to go out and start something new. And what I did was traveling in Europe, I found that they made cinnamon roasted almonds and pecans in these copper kettles out on the streets throughout Europe. And I realized that was great. I loved the product. And I also thought there was something that we really don't do here in the United States. So I bought a copper kettle, and I experimented with my own recipe, and I actually started my first entrepreneurial business that way, just by finding a new niche and something that didn't exist here in the United States, and brought it over, and the business really took off.
And you did that in Hilton Head?
I did that in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. I started it there, and then actually what I did is I quit my job. I actually got married, and the day I came back from my honeymoon, I said, you know, honey, what I'm doing is I'm quitting my job today, and I'm starting this new venture to sell roasted nuts on the streets and maybe on street corners and festivals, and course, you know, she thought I had completely lost my mind. But I started out with one machine, and I built sort of a little cart that surrounded it. And I decided I was going to move to Orlando, Florida. So I felt that it was a tourist town, and there was an opportunity for maybe more traffic flow. So I opened up at the Orlando Arena, and I contacted the arena manager there. And he said, you know, this sounds like an interesting product. You know, it's a new snack food. And I thought, well, you know, I brought a copper kettle over there, and I set it up in the back loading dock, and I started roasting nuts, and people started coming out, and the management team from handles all the food service for the arena came there, and they loved the product, and they said, you know, you start the next day. So I pretty much plugged in the machine. I had no idea if people were really going to like the product. I liked it, but I wasn't sure if anybody else were going to really enjoy it. And the company, to make a long story short, we opened up one location. It became highly successful. It was a smash hit. People loved the product. And 5 years later, it was an Inc. 500 winning company. We did over $10 million in sales in within a five-year time frame. And the product was featured at the White House. I got to go to the White House a couple times to meet President Clinton, and I was part of the inauguration. And it's a lot of things happened. I got press coverage. I was on CNN. Just all kinds of things happened because of that one entrepreneurial venture. And I just followed my dreams and visions and really stuck with it. And it wasn't easy during those first couple of years. It was difficult to get things going. But within a couple of years, we'd really started to generate more money and more success, and just put everything back into the business and gave it my all. And it became super successful. So I sold the company at 30, and so I started at about 25, and at 30 I sold that first company. And since then I founded six successful multi-million dollar companies before I was 40. And those companies have done in excess of $100 million in sales, and successfully launched them all, built them from nothing, and sold them all. And now what I'm doing at Cycle Success is really teaching other business owners how to do exactly what I did.
Right. Well, and we all, based on that, want to learn how to do exactly what you did. Now, John, just backing up one second, did you have any transition time from the job to your first venture in Hilton Head? In other words, did you kind of start it on the side, or did you literally just come back from your honeymoon and say, "Hon, I got a little news for you," and then gave your notice?
I pretty much gave my notice. I walked in. I made a clear decision in my mind that I had to give this an opportunity. I think it's very difficult for people to transition. It's kind of hard to have, you know, both feet in two different places. And it really splits your focus. And if you're going to, you know, you can get it. Most people can find a job virtually doing anything if they have some background and some skills. My recommendation for me, certainly what I did, is I immersed myself completely into the process, and I was working significantly more hours than I had for the company, for International Paper. I was developing this thing. I was marketing it. I was finding new recipes. I was, you know, looking for new locations continually. And it was a 10 to 20 hour a day job. I mean, I was working 7 days a week, 70, 80 hours, but I'm loving every minute of it. It really wasn't work for me. It was just something that I had a dream and a vision and a passion. So my experience, for me to be successful, I have to be completely in it.
It does make a difference when it's your passion. You can work like that and time just flies.
It does, and I can't imagine sort of having kind of a little bit of a hobby over here, and then I got a full-time job. And I think too many entrepreneurs, or, you know, don't become them because they're scared of making the leap. And it's unfortunate because we lose so many great potential products because of just fear that, you know, I need that paycheck. But the reality is, if you have something you're passionate about and you go out and do it and give it your 100%, give it a year, give it a solid year, figure out how to make it work within your, you know, cut back on any expenses, live bare bones, bootstrap, whatever it is. But give that business a year to really flourish. It's like a plant. You've got to water it. It's a living, breathing thing. You've got to, you know, talk to it and give sunshine and take care of it and cultivate and get the weeds out and give it a chance to grow. And it will pop out of the cement and become a real business, you know. It'll actually grow.
Yeah, that's great. That's a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, because, you know, we all need to hear as many inspirational real-life stories as we can. And it's great to know that you can become as successful as you have been, but, you know, you really have to roll your sleeves up. It's not about, you know, instant millionaire.
No, it never is. But you know what? The thing is that there's a lot of people with dreams and vision and passion, much more passionate and have bigger dreams than I'll ever have. But without business tools or techniques or skill sets that allow the business to grow and have a process in place that can take your business really to the next level quickly, you'll never get there. I mean, again, you can have all the dreams and visions and passion, but without some business skill sets or some techniques of growing your business that are a toolbox of skills, you're never going to really achieve any success.
Right, and I'm so glad you said that because it leads us right into talking about the cycle of success. And the way I'm thinking about kind of setting this up, John, is, you know, I have a lot of friends who are involved in direct selling and network marketing companies, and one of the things that's appealing to them is there's a system. Or they're at least told there's a system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's appealing to say, you know, the product's tried and true, it's tested, or at least someone thinks it's good, and there's a system that I'm being told works to sell it. And one of the things that I think makes it difficult for business owners to wrap their hands around starting something themselves from scratch is that there's no system, and it seems like the cycle of success, at least to some extent, helps to alleviate that concern by providing a system. Is that one way to look at your cycle of success?
It is. It's a building block process to make your company be successful. And it's a series of 18 particular steps that we roll out over the course of a one-year process. And really what it is, cycle of success is really built upon the best practices of some of the world's most successful companies. If we look at what makes a great company great, look at Home Depot or Toyota or Disney or, you know, a lot of the great businesses have some fundamentals that they stuck with that's made them successful. So what we did is we learned about what those companies did, and we then tried, because of my entrepreneurial background and experience running small companies, made them into a step-by-step process and make them applicable where you don't need rooms of cost accountants and industrial engineers to figure it out. Mm-hmm. In other words, make these very basic, simple, implementable steps. No matter what industry you're in, and this process has been implemented in virtually every industry, major industry vertical, very successfully implemented. So companies have applied these principles and these tools to their business, and it's just following the process. It's not about me. This cycle of success is very much a process-driven approach. So mm-hmm. companies come with their skill sets and their understanding about their business and just learn these principles and take them back to their offices and apply each of the steps over the course of a year. And the companies that have done this have become rapidly successful. They've improved significantly where they were before, and so many of them become some of the most successful companies on a national basis within a year. So it's a proven process, and it's relatively easy to do, and it just takes somebody that has focus and a little bit of dedication.
And are these principles transferable to small family-owned businesses?
Most of the companies we work with have 10 employees or less.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have up to 600 employees, but most of them are small entrepreneurs with three or four, two people,
mm-hmm.
and they're really in a position, you know, where they want to grow, and they've tried maybe for a year or two, and they just haven't quite gotten there. They know in their own gut that they're just not achieving the kind of success that they really feel they should be getting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a process that allows them to really collaborate together and unlock the things that prohibit their growth and mm-hmm. identify those key problems and stumbling blocks, because once they're identified, the next piece of the process in the cycle of success is to learn how to eliminate those problems. And they could be anything from, you know, cash flow to trying to get more clients to managing the internal processes of the company more effectively. Whatever it is, each company has their own stumbling blocks and hurdles, and that's what's holding them back. But once they're identified and solved, these companies move forward very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, I listened in your book to your statement that your cycle of success is based in part on a methodology that was shared with the Japanese before their companies as a whole began to experience great success. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, because if you look at where the Japanese were 40 years ago and where they are today, particularly in the automobile and technological industries, they've made extremely advanced strides. And is that based in part on some of the principles you're talking about in cycle of success?
Yeah. What you're talking about is something called the Shewhart cycle, which nobody knows about, but Dr. Shewhart was a University of Illinois professor, and he created this continuous process improvement cycle, and it was called plan, do, study, and act. So imagine a circle with a plus sign in the middle with four quadrants, four pieces of a pie. The first piece is plan, then you plan to do something to improve your business, and then actually do it. Then the next piece is plan, do, study. Study it to see if it's working. If it's working, get everybody involved. So, in other words, Toyota, Sony, Honda, Mitsubishi, small companies 40 years ago that nobody ever heard of, embraced this process. U.S. companies didn't want to have anything to do with continuous improvement because we owned the world after World War II, and why should we change to do anything? And that was a very dangerous mindset. We went to Japan, and we taught them this continuous improvement cycle. In other words, continuous improvement, all it is continually trying to improve your business on a never-ending basis.
Right.
And letting the employees on the shop floor, on the job site, whatever it is, they have ideas. Employees who do things for years and years actually have some great ideas, and it's getting them involved in finding ways to do it better. Really, really, then we can call it innovation. And
what
has happened is to this cycle of success, or the Shewhart cycle, is really designed around getting the company to be highly innovative. And it's just to be creative thinking about all the time about how you can ratchet it up and improve. A little thing here and there can make a big difference. So again, the Japanese embraced it. They had big success with it. And of course, they've destroyed the U.S. Automotive industry. There's no more electronics in the United States being manufactured. You know, Japan has really taken that away, all because of the way they think, just continually improving. So that same mantra, that same concept can be applied to any business, even if you're a one-person company.
Well, that's great, John. What a really wonderful overview. We're going to take a break and come back with John Mountner of Cycle of Success. This is Donna Maria on Indie Business Radio.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with John Mountner of Cycle of Success, and he's been sharing some great introductory information with us about his Cycle of Success program, which has helped many companies, including several of his own, reach maximum success, and many of these businesses have been sold for many, many millions of dollars. And so we all want to kind of get an idea of some of these principles and how we can apply them to our own businesses. You can call your questions or comments in to John at 800-773-0355. Now, John, you said the four basic high-level overview steps in the cycle of success are plan, do, study, and act. Let's take those each one at a time and talk a little bit about what they mean exactly for the small business owner.
Sure. Well, let me take you through the very first piece of it. When you want to plan to do something, what we want you to do is actually find the problems within your company. So the very first piece of it is really do something such as find the problem. So how are you going to find problems?
Let's say the problem is that I'm not making enough money.
That's good. That's good. Or I'm not having enough sales.
Yeah.
Or I'm just not, I lost that new customer or whatever it might be, that new client, right?
Yeah.
What we want every company to do is first initially find out where the problems are inside the company. Now, every single business that I've ever had, whether it has 3 people or 300 people, has got problems. And it's interesting how the smaller companies with 3 people have really more hard-hitting problems than a company with 300. Okay?
And so John, let me just say this, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of follow this kind of slowly. As a small business owner, like the people that I deal with mostly, is when you say I'm not making enough money, that really doesn't identify the problem, does it?
No, that would be a symptomatic issue. Cash flow is a symptomatic issue. Or the fact that maybe you lost that client or didn't get that sale is a symptomatic issue. What we want to be able to do is at least identify everything that's going on inside a typical business and be able to then determine whether or not it's a root causal problem. In other words, is it really a symptom or is it a cause of something else?
So it could be anything from your product is lousy to you just are paying too much for your ingredients or for, you know, your costs are too high.
Could be that, or it could be the way we handle communications within the company. It could be the way we deal with clients. It could be
so many things that you really have to get below the surface of, I don't like my bottom line, and figure out what the problem is.
Precisely, and the way we do that is a very structured process, and it's called a problem identification team. And anybody that's listening to this, I highly recommend that you do that. Even if it's you, a one or two or three person company, do this, because it'll amaze you what you're going to find. And could I describe actually how to go through that process?
Please do.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is you want to gather your people together, no matter how many they are, because we consider everyone inside the company an expert because they've been doing it for maybe 6 months or a year. And if you do something for that long, you should be pretty good at it. So we gather people together in a room and we lock them together for what we call a problem identification team meeting. And it's really a brainstorming meeting where you're going to go around the table and ask a question. Give me a problem you currently have. And somebody might say, well, you know, the paperwork didn't get filled out properly, so we shipped the wrong product. Okay, great. And we're going to write that down. What we're going to do is we're going to take a sticky note, and we're going to write it on a 3M sticky note, and we're going to stick it up on the wall, and there's a problem. And we're going to continue to sort of go to the next person, give me another problem. Well, you know, if I could get the paperwork back faster, then I could fill out the billing right, and then I could send the invoices out faster. Okay, great. Well, then we'll write that one down. And it could be anything. Each company that does this has its own unique stumbling blocks and hurdles and problems. And this is a very powerful way of identifying. Now, there's some things that's interesting when we do this. The very first thing is I've done this hundreds of times and have found tens of thousands of problems with companies. And they're all different and unique to that business. But when I usually start the process, I ask the business owners, how many problems do you think you have? And, of course, how many do you think I get?
How many?
Usually three or four. Mm-hmm. Such as cash flow, or I need more sales, or I'm not making enough money, or whatever it might be.
Right. Not enough hours in the day.
Not enough hours in the day, whatever it is. And those are all, I hear those continually again and again. And yet they try and solve those, but they can never solve them, and they keep coming back because it's a Band-Aid approach to fixing the problem. Mm-hmm. Because they really don't understand that that problem might be caused by four or five other underlying things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very good process to identify. I recently took a business that actually manufactured ice cream. They were a three-person company, and they made a soy-based ice cream product. And they identified, the three of them, two owners and one employee that was involved in actually mixing the ice cream and filling up the containers, they found 74 different problems within their company within about 3 1-hour of these brainstorming meetings. And that was far more than they ever thought they could possibly find. The way we do it, though, is if somebody says, oh, I have a problem, then you want to ask the question, such as, what do you think is causing that problem? And then they'll say, well, you know, cash flow might come out as an issue. What do you think is causing cash flow? Well, we can't collect our money fast enough. Well, what do you think is causing that problem? Well, we don't have our bills going out fast enough. Or we had a mistake on the order, and that's why they delayed payment. In other words, what we're trying to do is drill down two or three different levels below the current what they state so we can really find the root cause of the problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful way. So over the course of 3 1-hour meetings that we conduct, and anybody can do this. We don't have to necessarily do it with them, but we're happy to. And they can identify those 50 to 75, maybe even 100 problems that they never really knew about in the first place. And so in 3 1-hour meetings that I recommend every company taking themselves through, just stay focused, keep it to 1 hour, maybe once a week for 1 hour, and they will find 50 to 150 problems that they really now have a good look at, and they'll learn more about their business than they ever did before. So that would be the first piece of it in terms of trying to find out what's really wrong or what's going on.
Now, if a small business owner finds so many problems that they seem overwhelming, what do you recommend that they do? Because I know the second step is then trying to solve the problem.
Right. Before you want to solve the problems, what you want to do is you want to get to the correct problems. And so you want to start looking at those 50 problems. It might seem overwhelming, but I look at it as these are the things that are holding us back. And if we can solve those, think about how much more effective and efficient, productive, and profitable we'll be. So it's a real opportunity to grow the business instead of it taking it on as, oh, I'm depressed and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So it is eye-opening. It can be painful because you're staring down those problems and you're like, gosh, what am I going to do with this? It seems overwhelming. What you want to do with those problems is be able to pull some of the most important ones out. Kind of go through each of them and say, you know, is this really a symptomatic issue, or do you think something's causing another sticky note might be causing that problem? And by looking at it and taking a little bit of time, you'll realize that, you know, that actually is a symptom, but if I look at this problem over here, this is really more the root cause of the problem. So it's shifting your thinking from symptomatic issues to finding out where the real disease is really lying within the business. Mm-hmm. And what you'll do is most companies will identify the top 10. And so you'll have a good top 10 of those problems. Now, out of that top 10, which are the ones to go work on? Well, I only want to work on the most expensive ones first.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because one of the chapters in your audio book at your website talks about, you know, once you've identified the problem, it talks about asking yourself the question whether your company can survive for a period of time while you solve that problem on the profit or on the revenue that's coming in now. In other words, stop and solve the problem and put everything on automatic pilot. Don't necessarily try to reach any new huge sales heights, but stop and solve the problem and then move on later. Is that part of the analysis, is to kind of put your resources into problem solving as opposed to business growth until you can work those kinks out?
You know, I believe yes. In other words, I believe that you know, we keep thinking in this country that we have to, you know, raise the bridge and ignore the water level. In other words, I'm all about lowering the water, which is much faster than raising the bridge. We can look internal and solve those problems much quicker. In other words, this is not about necessarily going after more sales. Maybe it's a problem, but the reality is what's prohibiting you from getting those sales? So I look at, can you grow at a 0% growth rate for the next year? Most companies can do whatever they did in 2006. Can they do it again in 2007, for example? And most people say, yeah, I think I can do that. And if that's the case, let's take our current business, eliminate those profit leaks, eliminate those stumbling blocks and problems, and at the same time, you'll generate more sales because your customers are now seeing the differences in the way you operate.
Well, and John, I like that principle. I think it bears repeating. It's quicker to lower the water than it is to raise the bridge.
It is. It's 20 times faster to lower the water and look internal within your business to solve those problems that are costing you money than always thinking, oh, we just need more sales. Because in business schools in this country, it's a terrible thing we always teach. Just get more sales and everything will be fine. And I've seen companies go from $500,000 to $1 million to $2 million and they're out of business.
So lowering the water basically kind of takes some of the sales pressure off of you so that you can then sort of normalize your business. And then once the water level's a little bit lower, when you implement these changes, they're much more likely to be successful.
Yes, clean up the internal processes and operational issues within the business. Once those have been solved, what happens to a company, just because those have been eliminated, your top line will start to grow. Because you're more efficient, you're more effective, you're more customer-focused, those things that were preventing you from getting the sales have now been corrected. And as a byproduct, you'll actually grow your top line because you're so internally better managed.
Right, and it frees you up to actually focus on that.
And it does, and it gives you the time. But, you know, the thing is that, and I think something you alluded to, is how can we possibly do that while we're running the business at the same time? You know, this process, you know, that we take companies through, and certainly anybody should carve out 1 hour of your week and identify those problems as a first starting point over the next 3 weeks. Then after you're done with identifying that and you've got your list of top 10, then take 1 hour a week of your day, of your week, and start taking one of those top 10 items off the sticky notes. That's a key issue, and start to really focus on how to improve it. And I can share with you now maybe how to actually solve those difficult problems that you didn't even know maybe existed before you did
it. That's good. So we found the problems and we're going to talk about solving them. Good.
Right. There's nothing as bad as finding a whole bunch of problems and having them stare you down and know that they're costing you tens of thousands of dollars a year and lost the bottom line and top line growth, and you can't do anything about it. So So the next piece of the process is to actually solve them. And we use a team approach to solving problems. We found that through some studies and our internal processes that we've developed, that it's much easier to solve a problem with a team approach than just saying, you know, George, you go take care of this one, and John, you do that one, and Sally, you do this one, and let me know how it's going. The amount of traction you get by focusing on one or two problems at the same time with a group of people, maybe it's your whole company because you have three people, and focusing on just solving that problem can get you much quicker results. So, go ahead.
No, I said yes.
So to do that, what you want to be able to do is do some brainstorming. In other words, let's say we had one of our problems was that the paperwork wasn't getting filled out properly, and customers, we ship out the wrong product to the customer, maybe in a manufacturing or wholesale type environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a problem. We realized that maybe if we solved that, we could make more money and make our clients or customers happier. So that's our particular problem we're going to try and solve. So we gather together in a group of three or four people, if that's our whole company, and we call them an action team. An action team is a group of three or four people. And what you want to be able to do is take that one particular problem, make sure everybody understands that's what we're going to focus on, and the action team is going to work for 4 weeks. And actually, in this process, which I'm going to describe to you in a minute, we'll be able to eliminate that problem in 4 weeks, and maybe you've been dealing with it for years, and in 4 weeks, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a four-step process, but the very first step of it is to identify the problem, get the sticky note, and you have it now, and you're gonna try and solve that particular paperwork issue, for instance.
Uh-huh.
And what you want to do is gather your team together and say, what is causing that problem to occur? And everybody goes around the room, again, brainstorming, and what happens is there might be, because the paperwork's not getting filled out properly, we might find that there's 5 or 10 causes of that particular problem. So again, going back to the root cause of the problem. And now you've got 10 different issues. And what you want to do is be able to look at each one of those and make improvements to the process of how paperwork gets filled out. Maybe I fill out paperwork differently than you, or maybe I forgot to check that box because I didn't think it was important. Maybe it's a training issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever those issues are, that problem we understand is expensive. We have to solve it. So the first step in that 4-week process is to identify what is causing that problem more in depth. And by the way, the people on that team should understand the problem. They should have some familiarity with the process or
right.
filling out the paperwork. And so they all can kind of triangulate on the problem to get rid of it.
Now, what do you recommend for people who literally may be family-owned businesses in the sense that it's a husband and wife team and they really don't have anyone? They may have some part-time help, you know, for shipping or packaging
sure.
of boxes, but if that's not where the problem lies, do you recommend that they find a third party to help them through that?
No, I don't, because a third party is not going to know to have the technical expertise that they do on the particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
Again, an outsider, generally speaking, you know, it may not know the technical ins and outs of their particular software or their particular process they currently have in place. All they know is that, and by the way, most of the companies we work with, 99% of them are all family-owned businesses. So it's a matter of them sort of collectively working together to solve a particular problem.
Right. I guess having a third party would only be good if you could invest the thousands of dollars you'd have to use to bring them up to speed.
You'd have to bring them up to speed, and they have
yeah.
to know everything about it. See, the beautiful thing about the process is all the intellectual capital that the company has just needs to be unlocked because they know how to do the work better than anyone could tell them.
Right. That's such a huge point, and I want to come back and cover that a little bit when we talk about the other steps to the cycle of success. We're here this afternoon with John Mountner, author of Cycle of Success, and he's sharing with us some great information for how we can identify problems at our company, solve them, and move forward with new solutions to increase our bottom line. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of this week's Indie Business Radio. We are talking to John Mountner, co-author of Cycle of Success. He has been sharing with us a real easy-to-follow, easy-to-conceptualize plan for identifying the challenges or problems in your business that are keeping you from reaching your goals, deciding how to assess them, and then moving forward with growing your business. And John, when we left off, we had talked about finding the problems and collaborating with your core team to design solutions for them, and now we're going to talk about assessing them. Does that happen after you try the solutions out for a while?
Yeah, what you want to be able to do is assessing the solutions, really giving the management of the company tools that they can guide the business by. You know, very often in this country, you know, we get an income statement and a balance sheet. Sometimes companies do it once a year just for tax purposes, but they really have no idea how things are progressing as the month or the year is going on. So one of the things you want to get businesses to do is understand their finances, certainly understand operational reporting and financial reporting systems, and applying those to a small business can really be the determination between success and failure. I kind of look at it as, you know, on a windshield on a car is a very large up, you know, because you're looking forward. And a rear view mirror on the car is kind of small. That's because you're sort of looking backwards. Now, most traditional accounting that we do in this country is good for our accountants or our bankers, and it's all historical information. A good company right now would be one that, say, in the middle of June, they got their financial statements, their income, their balance sheet, and their income statements, so they understood how much money they made, and that would be for the month of May, which is all then, of course, historical information. How can I, if I had a problem in May, and I wasn't making any money in May, and I find out about it in June, how is that going to possibly help me? It's good for your accountant or your banker, but it's really not good to manage your business by. So one of the things you want to get into in assessing the solutions is building in a reporting information that you can have daily or weekly or even hourly, so you can know how the business is progressing while it's actually happening. It's live information, so you can sleep at night, you can get a handle on what's going on, whether you're winning or losing, much quicker than, say, 6 weeks or 6 months later.
So does that involve software programs, or how do you do that?
Well, in the Cycle of Success, we have some basic Excel spreadsheets that we use.
Okay.
Keep it very simple.
Okay.
Most companies have some sort of accounting, and those that don't, we're going to give them just a basic spreadsheet to start working with. But
okay.
it's something
you can give to your accountant or your tax preparer, kind of somebody who's better with numbers than you, and have them kind of use that to help you chart things?
You could if you wanted to pay somebody from the outside to do it, if you didn't want to do it. But we want business owners to have control of their destiny and be able to know if they're winning or losing much quicker than once a month or every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process, you know, what we want to start to do is look at what are some of those key operational things that we need to know. You know, I know the guy that started Alamo Rent-A-Car, and when he started the company, he wanted to know a couple things, basically. How many cars do I have rented out today, and when are they coming back? So if I have people waiting, I know I can service them, because he was in the business of flipping cars around, right?
Right.
So what are two or three or maybe half a dozen of those key things that every business owner needs to know? Maybe some high-level things about my current cash position, what's my receivables, what's my payables. Those are basic things. But more important things, how many mistakes did we make today? How many sales calls did we make? How fast did we get the product out the door today? Or, you know, how many potential clients I talked to converted into a sale as a percentage? In other words, you've got to have some metrics that you're measuring throughout the day or throughout the week. I look at it usually weekly, so I have an idea of how I'm performing, and I look at it Monday for the prior week, and I have a meeting with my other partner and my managers, and we sit around and we talk about these numbers so we know what's happening while it's happening. If there's a problem, if there's one of those indicators is off, then I can make an immediate shift, and we can drill down and say, you know, what's going on with this problem? Why did that happen? And we can learn from it, and then we can make quick corrections along the way. Again, I gave you the analogy of a car with a very large windshield and a really tiny rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is small because what's going on behind you as you're driving down the highway isn't that important, because you really don't need to know. You don't drive looking in the rearview mirror. You occasionally glance up when you're changing lanes. What you really need to know is you need a big windshield out front. You need a dashboard of information in front of you so you can quickly make decisions as you're moving down the road, as you're running your business. You have multiple dials. You have a tachometer and a speedometer. You want to run out of gas, but you're also looking forward. You're looking at the signs. You're making sure you're obeying the speed limits. You're not crashing anybody. These are all things that are going to help you be safe and get to where you get to your destination. So same analogy just holds true in your business. You need to have forward-looking information. You need to be out looking up front, understanding where you are, how are you doing, and as it's really going on, it's really what I call real-time information.
Right. I love that, your dashboard of information. And this kind of goes to, it reminds me of something that your assistant emailed to me when I was first contacted about you. And that was your expertise in helping small business owners kind of make the mental leap from treating their business like a hobby to treating it like a business.
Exactly. You know, and the leap isn't that big, really. You know, it's a matter of understanding if you've got some tools and you've got some techniques. Again, all the dreams and vision and passion in the world aren't going to get you there. You've got to have some sort of systematic way of growing your business and being structured and, you know, having simple things like, which we teach, things like standard operating procedures are a very powerful thing. I mean, imagine McDonald's without standard operating procedures. Everybody would go to the work in the United States and open up a McDonald's, and the quality, and people would make the Big Macs where they want to, and the French fries would be made the way they want to, and they greet the customers the way they would want to, versus having a uniform approach across the country and doing it the best, most effective way. So you would have, without standard operating procedures, you would have chaos.
Right.
So standardizing a lot of the things that you do again and again can be very successful, very powerful tool in terms of getting your business to be structured so it can run with or without you. You have an ongoing business that can really achieve a lot of success.
And so as you're moving forward assessing these sort of action steps that you've taken, is it really at that point just a matter of dropping the ones that didn't work and implementing the ones that did?
Well, you know, of course you want every single one of them to work. If you made an improvement or you found out how to improve it, something probably improved. But more importantly, you know, your people felt that they were involved in the process. Part of this process is to really get your employees to feel empowered, that they can make a positive difference. You know, the corporate culture or the attitude you have inside your business is critically important. You know, a culture of innovation, a culture of openness, a culture of getting people to find a problem and be able to come to you and say, we solved it, versus just going to you and saying as the owner, this is a problem, can you solve it for me? So a completely different shift. And some of those techniques and things are woven into the process. So if you have an empowered workforce, that can help you achieve your goals much faster. It's too hard to muscle it through as an owner. If you have a couple employees and they're on the same page and they're working toward improvement and they're helping you achieve your goals and objectives, you'll get there 10 times faster.
So as part
of the assessing the solution piece of it, you know, not only having a dashboard of information so you know if you're winning or losing, but get a very good handle on your cash flow. Do a cash flow statement. It's relatively easy to do, and maybe your bookkeeper can help you with it. But it gives you an idea how you're going to be, how much money you're going to have in a month from now or 2 months from now, so you don't run out. So you don't, you know, if there's an emergency, if there's a purchase you want to make, you put it into the projections, and so you can at least get some idea of how to manage your cash, which is going to be critically important in terms of you know, being successful or not. Too many companies run out of money, or they're highly leveraged, their banker got into them for too much debt, and they're barely even servicing the debt. And often we've seen companies that, you know, their banker approaches them and said, look, you're out of covenant with your loans, you're not paying us on time, and we'd like to accelerate the note or get out of the deal, or, you know, they'll liquidate your company right out from under you.
Yeah, and that, well, having not having enough money is always a problem, even if you have some money. It always just seems like there's never enough. But your tools, particularly where finances are concerned, as you've just described them, it really encourage people and give small business owners, I think, some help and some hope that there are some things that they can do to get at the bottom line and assess the problems and take some steps to get rid of them. And I really applaud you for sharing the lowering the waterline, because I think it seems to me that a lot of authors and speakers are just they're just reticent to say that because they want to be all about, you know, make money, make money, make money, and nobody seems to be willing to do what I call telling the truth, which is, yeah, that's all great, but let's cover what you have to do that.
And that's really what we're all about. We're trying to give the fundamental tools that anybody's business can apply the very next day and have a huge impact and do it in a building block process so they understand. And the idea is they can repeat it again and again and again. The idea is over the course of a year when they complete the process, they start another problem identification team a year later. And maybe they found 50 problems in the first year. And the second year they do it, maybe they find 25. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they're fine-tuning and eliminating. In other words, until they've eliminated all the problems, they're really never done. And,
right,
of course, new issues and new challenges come on to attack the company. And now you have a way of being able to identify those and eliminate them.
Well, and not the least of which is your audio at your website, which everyone, I hope you heard me say earlier, is absolutely free at cycleofsuccess.net. The chapters in the book are laid out right there in streaming audio. You can click on one chapter at a time. I strongly encourage you to set aside some time, as you will have to in order to move your business forward anyway, to learn John's system for identifying problems and solving them. You just can't go wrong with the audio. It's excellent. And, John, can you tell us a little bit more, other than reaching you at cycleofsuccess.net, how else can we find out about what you're doing? Where can we meet you? Are you speaking? Are you doing any other things that we can learn about to catch up with some more of your expertise?
Well, sure. You know, people can call me directly and pick up the phone and call me. I'm at 312-371-7929. They can email me at jmautner, MAUTNER, at advanced, ADVANCED, profit, profit.net. We are speaking on an ongoing basis in Chicago. We have new classes that start continually. We work with organizations like the Women's Business Development Center. We work with MBOC, U.S. Department of Commerce. We work with the Illinois Department of Commerce, the Indiana Department of Commerce. Those are groups that we work with, and we speak to their members, their small businesses that they work with on an ongoing basis. Some of those organizations actually have grants that'll pay for half the cost of the program that we have. The best way to reach us in terms of upcoming events, we actually have one coming up on March 29th. It's actually at a Cycle Success graduate, and he's going to take 2.5 hours to step you through the process and talk specifically about his problem identification team, the problems that they identified and solved, the reporting systems that they put into place, and how the employees integrated into the process and what they've done. They've made significant inroads into their top line and bottom line growth. But really, more importantly, you know, their employees are really empowered. They're looking for improvements. Instead of a dollar being dropped on the floor and people ignore it, the employees are looking to pick it up and put it back into the company's bottom line.
Wow, so that's a great tool right there, is just empowering your employees by giving them the ability to make the contribution.
And, of course, you know, if somebody finds a dollar and they add it to the bottom line, why shouldn't, as an owner, share it with the employees? Find a culture that not only helps them think like owners, but should be incentivized like an owner.
Well, I guess that's more important than ever now with so many options for employees to start their own businesses.
It is. And I would say that the final fourth piece of the process is really after finding the problems and you're solving them and you're assessing the solutions. And by the way, if something doesn't work, you can always go back and try it again. That's part of the process.
Great.
If you didn't quite get it right or it didn't quite work, then go back and try it again. But what you would learn was a very valuable lesson.
And right. That is certainly the power of tenacity and the power of persistence. And I'm so glad that you were here today to share with us your cycle of success and the principles that can help other businesses, as yours have, become successful, stay that way, and maximize their potential. John, thank you for joining us on Indie Business Radio today.
Happy to be on Indie Business Radio. Love the show. Listen all the time, and happy to participate anytime you'd like. And again, if people have any questions or want to call me directly, I'm at 312-371-7929. So no matter if you're a one-person company or thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, I've done it many times, and I would never want to go back to working for someone else. And for the last 20 years, I've been very fortunate to be able to build companies from nothing and have them be successful, and I'm happy to share any of my insight to anybody that would like to call.
Well, we'll certainly do that, and cycleofsuccess.net. I hope you guys will join me next week where I'll have fresh from his appearances on The Oprah Show and Larry King Live, James Ray, who's going to be here to talk about his philosophy about harmony and how harmony can bring about success in your life and your business. That's next week, right here, same time, same station, on Indie Business Radio. This is Donna Maria signing off for the week. Have a good one, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.